Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And we are back for this last half hour of the Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson and Dr. Alex McFarland filling in for Tim and Ed today. They will be back in the chair tomorrow for Trivia Friday. Joining us in studio right now is reporter Steve Jordahl from American Family News.
Hello.
Yeah, good to have you here.
Thank you.
Wanted just to repeat our top story that we chatted about at the beginning of the program today. The Secret Service has completed its investigation of that bag of cocaine found at the White House on July the 2nd. And folks, if you haven't heard this yet, maybe come as a shock to you, but the Secret Service says there are no fingerprints or DNA that turned up on that baggie of cocaine. And they've looked at surveillance videos, and they can't see anybody in that. So, once again, this is their conclusion. Without physical evidence, the investigation will not be able to single out a person of interest from the hundreds of individuals who passed through the vestibule where the cocaine was discovered.
They have said, of course, though, that they are going to consult with the security at the Supreme Court
yes.
to see if they can they can help because they're so good at finding
about leaks and who leaks information.
Hey, guys, do we file this under the same effort as OJ's attempt to find, quote, the real killers?
Yeah, right up there. But we talked about
not
this.
Looking too hard.
No, not looking too hard. Well, we're going to get reaction to this, and I think the American people aren't going to buy this. I know there are good people in the Secret Service, but one has to be suspicious because we now have 3 years of a Justice Department that, and this is putting mildly, seems to be very vigorous in their attack against conservatives, parents who show up at school board meetings to complain about boys wanting to use girls' washrooms, the Attorney General of the United States referring to them as domestic terrorists, all of that sort of thing. And then something like this happens, and the Secret Service says, gee whiz, we haven't been able to find anything. So, but we will continue to report on this and to get reaction to it. But I think the case is building, as we talked about, Alex, in the first hour. I think the case is building in the minds of the American public. There is something wrong in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's true. And look, we can't have a two-tier justice system. Equal protection before the law, but equal accountability before the law. It doesn't matter if your last name is Biden and your dad is the big guy. You can't break the law, and if you do, you need to be held accountable.
Yeah, well, the big guy is in Finland today.
Yeah.
Steve, that's your top story?
Well, yeah.
But does he know this, Fred?
He looked around. Saw a flag and
today,
he figured it out.
He did a press conference with the Finnish president here about 10 o'clock our time, about when today's issue started. And here's the couple takeaways that I got from it. He said a couple things that were interesting. Today in Finland, he was asked questions by reporters, mostly about the war in Ukraine. He said that Putin has already lost that war and just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he said that, so Finland is joining NATO.
Yes.
And he reiterated several times that the U.S. and NATO will defend every inch of NATO soil. So he's, again, pledging troops. And this is part of the deal they make to put in NATO. They're military allies, so they go come to each other's rescue. He was asked one interesting question by a CNN reporter about Tommy Tuberville, who's the senator from Georgia,
yes.
who has put a hold on the
military advancement for officers.
Right, generals, the promotions.
Right,
basically, until the military says they will stop allowing funding abortions.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is, forgive me, Steve, but this is a violation of the Hyde Amendment. I don't know if people remember this, but in January of 2009, the very first thing that President Obama did, the very, very first thing he did as president was to break the law. And he appropriated federal money to pay for abortions for the military, which was a violation of a standing law, the Hyde Amendment. So, yes, people are faulting Tuberville. They say there are, quote, 250 qualified candidates. But what he's saying is we want people that aren't woke.
And what Joe Biden said is that the GOP knows that he's wrong and need to rein him in.
Oh.
That the GOP disagrees with him on this, he says.
Biden says that.
So that's what he's demanding. He was in
Helsinki.
Helsinki. That's where he said today. He was yesterday. He was at the summit, and I think it was. Was that still in Helsinki, the NATO summit?
Lithuania.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have some more misspeaks from our president. I want you to hear this. This is Joe Biden addressing Volodymyr Zelensky. Mm-hmm. Volodymyr is his first name, V-O-L-O.
The leader of Ukraine.
Right, the leader of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Volodymyr Zelensky. He calls him by a different name, which just happens to be the first name of Russia's president. And then, so let's listen to this. This is cut 9.
Vladimir and I, I shouldn't be so familiar. Mr. Zelensky and I.
Thank you so much. President Zelensky, how soon after the war would you like to be in NATO? How soon after the war would you like to join NATO?
An hour and 20 minutes.
Here we go.
You guys ask really insightful questions.
All right, guys, we got to get up.
All right, in case you couldn't understand that, which would be, I get it. He was asked by a reporter, how soon after the war would you like to see Ukraine be let into NATO?
Mm-hmm.
And he mocked the press, Joe Biden did, by saying, an hour and 20 minutes. Why? You guys ask insightful questions. Do you remember when President Trump had some issues with the press and the press just, it was just like the end of all civilization almost by calling out Donald Trump, but not so much Joe Biden. Anyway, we also, if I may, we also have an interesting hearing. We're hearing from our vice president as well. Now, Kamala Harris, as befits her stature, has been given the title of AI czar. Artificial intelligence.
Because she did so well as border czar.
Well, since she solved the problem at the border, they have to give her something else. So they decided to give her technology. What could possibly go wrong? So here she is. She's at a meeting where she decides she wants to speak about AI. And after that, you're going to hear Jimmy Failla, who's a commentator on Fox. And he has kind of a thought about why she's talking the way she is. Listen to cut 8.
AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence.
You know how they say treat people the way you want to be treated?
Yes.
Okay, she's treating the world like three-year-olds because she has the intellect of a three-year-old. Oh. She's obviously very uncomfortable in her skin. That's why you get all the redundancy and the infantilizing language. AI, it's two letters, as if people were sitting on the edge of their seat going, by the way, how many letters is that?
Alex, go ahead.
This is the time in the evening when we serve the salad. The word salad.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I got to tell you. And see, here's the thing, guys. And I guess I've been to the rodeo a few times, speaking at universities, doing Q&A. The left, they can be so smug and so condescending and just so high up on their moral horse. And they look down at those, you know, those of us that believe in morality and truth. And yet, here is the first, you know, female black vice president who's just unintelligent. Mm-hmm. Look, God knows. I mean, no ill. I pray for Kamala Harris. I do, but she, you know, second highest position in our government, and she's just a stupid person.
You know,
AI, well, first of all, it's two letters. You think? Well, notify Captain Obvious. It's two alphabet letters.
Yes.
I mean, but.
Well, guys, the reality is, and I think as the world is discovering, we don't have the A team right now in charge, and that's putting it politely and mildly. But Steve, there's a serious, very serious side to this. Our enemies also know this.
Oh, they're hearing the same thing.
You know, China, Russia, Iran. I mean, we've seen the boldness of Iran in recent weeks. They're going out and they're threatening U.S. military assets. They're threatening tankers, which is driving up the price of oil. The world knows the caliber of leadership this country has right now, and that's very dangerous for us.
It is, and one of the things that Joe Biden said, which people say is probably another gaffe last week, was that he admitted that the U.S. is low on ammunition.
I know.
Which is also another cue to our adversaries, maybe now's the time to pounce.
Alex?
Loose lips sink ships.
Yes. Yeah, literally.
That's what they used to say back in World War II. And look, you know, in the previous segment, guys, we were talking about how the CDC, which is in the hip pocket of the woke left, advocating a drug that can cause arrhythmia and heart attacks, but they're advocating the use of a drug so that men could go through some horribly twisted thing they call chest feeding. All right, transgenderism is an ideology they're willing to die for, apparently. Well, having woke people in the Oval Office and downward, apparently their ideology is worth compromising national security, putting us in a bad light on the world stage, compromising us before our enemies. And see, this is no game. Look, and I assure you, to China, North Korea, even India, you don't hear about India so much anymore. Look, world domination is no game, but to the Democrats, the welfare and the future of the American people is just, look, this is not a tweet or a Minecraft or a video game. This is reality, and this is our future. May God help us.
Yeah. All right, Steve, next
one. Let's go back to AI for a second, because Elon Musk announced today that he is starting his own version of ChatGPT, his own AI chatbot or company. It's called xAI, and it's a modest little venture. He says his goal is to understand the true nature of the universe.
Okay.
So
that's a big package.
Yeah, it's just the question of life.
Yes.
But what he is promising is from everything that people have been put together, because there's not a lot known about this, he's promising to do to AI what he did to Twitter, which was de-wokeify or get the woke out. He says the danger, this is in December, he tweeted this out, the danger of training AI to be woke, in other words, to lie, is deadly. So this is what it looks like he's going to be doing with his AI engine, is to try to program it in a way that it's not going to spew out some leftward leaning answers and also hopefully not take over the world.
Alex, your thoughts, some general thoughts on this development of artificial intelligence. Dr. Ray Pritchard, back a couple of months ago, we were talking to him, and he kind of did a little test with it. I think it wrote a sermon for him on a particular passage of scripture, like within minutes. And some people may regard that, well, that's kind of nice, can do that. But also, you know, artificial intelligence can be infused with interpretations. Let's stick with the scripture example that may sound good, but is a dangerous misinterpretation?
Yeah, well, people need to know there are Bible apps out there that delete certain scriptures, like scriptures that condemn homosexuality. And so, you know, Revelation 13:13 talks about the beast and the false prophet, and the beast could perform apparently great miracles, but deceptive miracles. So, you know, imagine AI, you've got really this hyper on steroids search engine that in seconds control the entire internet. And if you say, you know, I want a 600-word op-ed on, you know, human trafficking, and I need two footnotes, with a click of a button, it could do that. But here's the thing, folks, as more and more of the internet is being scrubbed, by the way, Mike Huckabee 2 weeks ago wrote an article about a pastor friend who posted on his personal blog, posted something about gender from a biblical perspective, and it got scrubbed. Mm. Scrubbed. And I could give other examples of that. But folks, this is why, as the church has done in previous centuries, we must be the custodians of learning and education that is based on the apprehension of truth. That's why, folks, hoard books. And look, I live online. I do a lot of research online. But we need books. Last summer, guys, I did a story on how America's public libraries are throwing away 100,000 to 200,000 books a month that are getting pitched into dumpsters because they're old and haven't been checked out. But we need to retrieve and store these books that were printed before the age of censorship.
Yeah.
And guys, I know I'm listening to myself, and I might sound like some conspiratorial, you know, tinfoil hat wearing wingnut, but I'm not. I mean, this is real. I've had at least one article absolutely erased from the internet before. And so, guys, with AI, it's little wonder that AI, if it's moral or theological or even historical, what AI regurgitates out is usually left-leaning because increasingly the algorithms of the internet are structured so as to suppress, if not erase, conservative opinions.
Yeah, we had a discussion in the newsroom this morning, Steve, about the danger of becoming too dependent on digital products.
Yeah.
Because they can be altered easily. You can be tracked for what you're reading.
Right.
All of those sorts of things. Alex, I love your idea. Make sure that you hoard books.
We don't have... Yeah. We're not even beginning to understand the impact of AI. We talk here in this table about it spitting out answers and doing papers and everything, and that's one of the things it does. But they are talking now about AI diagnosing medical conditions for doctors.
Yes.
Quicker and more accurately, they say.
Right now, they're trying to map the genome of every human in the world. That's why... you know, you can send in a tissue sample and get your family history, but I assure you, right now, they're assembling what they call 40 exobytes of data, which is the genome map of every human alive. By the way, 40 exobytes is 8 times the volume of all the words ever spoken in human history.
Wow.
But here's the thing. In 2018 in China, as far as we know, were delivered the first two babies that were genetically engineered. And what they want to do, folks, they say, well, look, with AI assisting us in mapping, we can weed out diseases. And we will... tamper with embryos, babies in utero, so that they'll be born without birth defects. But this engineering of what it means to be a human being and eliminating a binary view of gender, creating these morphed human beings, this is Aldous Huxley's Brave New World times 10. Guys, all I can say is that our explosive skill in technology has been paralleled by an equally dramatic loss of morality. May God help us.
Yep. Well, and if AI can weed out diseases, AI can weed in or put in diseases. And somebody, either a malign character that decides they want to do this, or if you're subscribing to the more dystopian versions of what could happen with the world of AI, what if AI decides it doesn't, but it, the world is better off without humans. After all, we're feeble, frail, ill people.
What if conservative evangelical Christians aren't allowed to reproduce anymore?
Yeah.
And, you know, you go to swipe your national health card or scan the chip that's under your skin. And, hey, you know what? You just, you don't qualify to procreate.
Yeah.
It's a brave new world, folks.
Yep, it is. Yeah, brave new world, scary new world. Steve, next story.
All right, let's talk about, can we talk a little bit about the campaign that's going on? we have some, there's a way that certain polling companies can anticipate or at least predict how many delegates any given candidate has at the moment. If the election were today, Ron DeSantis would get this many candidates, Donald Trump would get this many delegates, I'm sorry, delegates to their conventions. And this is what they found. They found that when Ron DeSantis got in the race, they anticipated or predicted that at that point he had 1,413 delegates, 1,413 delegates. That was about 400 more than Donald Trump. So that was in February. In May, that had dipped, Ron DeSantis, that had dipped to 834 delegates. Now, they predict that if the election was now, Ron DeSantis would have 405 delegates. These are not electoral votes, folks. These are delegates. Mm. And Donald Trump would have 2,015 delegates. Mm-hmm. There's word that Ron DeSantis is calling an emergency meeting among his fundraisers to try to rescue this campaign.
Alex, we're early in this campaign, and certainly the back and forth between the former president and Governor DeSantis has been well reported. I'm anxious to see what the first debate, which is a week from this Sunday on Fox News, what it produces. Now, we don't know whether Donald Trump is going to be part of the debate. Right now, I think he's saying he doesn't want in. Tucker Carlson is also doing a forum sometime next week online. But I think there's going to be deeper thinking about this once they see these candidates on stage and going back and forth on the key issues.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, let me just say, and I'm simply making an obvious observation. This is certainly nothing profound. But don't rule anything in or out. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think 2-3 months ago, the conventional wisdom was that this candidacy, this nomination, and this presidency was going to be a slam dunk for DeSantis.
Yep.
I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, I have heard from what I would consider a very inside, unimpeachable source some things about who's getting what campaign funding from where. It's pretty disturbing. So, guys, let me just say we need to pray that God will superintend over the next presidential election.
Indeed.
Because so much is at stake.
You know, the political environment we've been talking about it this morning, you know, on the Democrat side, there's a great deal of concern about competency, about public policy, what they're trying to do. You know, we'll take one example, the education system in our country and the effort to indoctrinate our kids, turn our kids away from parental authority and from conservative values, etc. So on one hand, it would seem, guys, that this is an easy choice this time around, but there is debate within the Republican Party. And that's going to have to be resolved before we hit Election Day about, 14 months from now or so.
Correct.
All right. Great to have you. Dr. Alex McFarland, thank you so much. And we'll be praying for your ongoing youth camps. Great news about people getting saved and great news about what you're able to do. Go ahead.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Steve Jordahl, Fred Jackson, and the American Family audience. It's always an honor to be with you.
Amen. Much more great programming here on American Family Radio. Thank you, Steve, Brent, and to Chris, and
Jan.
And Jan, and trivia tomorrow. Don't forget that for sure. The gang will be back. We'll see you again soon.